Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. I'm going to continue on with this piece that I've been sharing all day long by Amy Wax and Larry Alexander, paying the price for the breakdown of the country's bourgeois culture. And this is a piece that's written by a pair of college professors, apparently, who didn't care or don't care what happens to them when they dare to tell the truth, which you're not supposed to do these days. Don't tell the truth. You're supposed to go into public and you're supposed to either don't talk about it or you're supposed to agree with the LGBTQ virus infectee or those who are infected with the LGBTQ virus. Of course, the T coming from the T virus of the Resident Evil movie fame. So I wanted to continue on with the piece because it's good and it's worthy of all of our considerations. I had left off with, what were the precepts before the revolution set in the 1950s and the 1960s? What did people in America and the United States do? Now, I pointed out that that's not just what people in America were doing. That's what people have been counseled to do since a little after 3 p.m. on the 25th of March, 33 A.D. Well, the culture laid out the script that we were all supposed to follow. Get married before you have children and strive to stay married for their sake. Get the education you need for gainful employment. Work hard and avoid idleness. Go the extra mile for your employer or client. Be a patriot, ready to serve the country. Be neighborly, civic-minded, and charitable. Avoid coarse language in public. Be respectful of authority and eschew substance abuse and crime. Pretty simple, right? Well, those are the tenets and the basic things that you would learn from the Christian faith. What they just wrote was what the apostles were told to go out and preach to all men of all nations. That's about it. I mean, they may have left some of the details out, and there may be an item or two, but principally, that's what the apostles were charged with doing. Now, the problem with these pieces like this and these essays like this is they rarely get to the, okay, well, how do you fix India? Wait, what do you have to do? Well, you have to restore that. If you're going to restore that, well, then what are you restoring? You're restoring the faith. You know, people think that man is programmed in with charity in mind. No, he's not. Man is programmed in that he can receive the grace, meaning the power of God, to perform charity. He's not programmed, no more than the dog is programmed in. You know, we've all seen the movies of dogs that are rescue dogs.
People think, well, that dog's a hero, and that dog's this, and that dog has that.
Well, that is, the dog has been conditioned to do those things. And the dog can be conditioned to rescue people. The dog can be conditioned to retrieve animals, like ducks that have been shot. Dogs can be trained then. They don't have the capacity for charity because they're not humans. They don't have the intellect. We do. Was everything, and they wrote this, was everything perfect during the period of bourgeois cultural hegemony? Of course not. There was racial discrimination, limited sex roles, and pockets of anti-Semitism. However, steady improvements for women and minorities were underway even when bourgeois norms reigned. However, banishing discrimination and expanding opportunity does not require the demise of bourgeois culture. Well, that's a mouthful there, huh? Quite the opposite. The loss of bourgeois habits seriously impeded the progress by taking over financial support of families, reduced the need for two parents. A strong pro-marriage norm might have blunted this effect. Instead, the number of single parents grew astronomically, producing children more prone to academic failure, addiction, idleness, crime, and poverty. The cultural script began to break down in the late 1960s, a combination of factors, prosperity. Now, listen to what they say the factors are. Now, again, these people, this man and this woman, these college professors, are writing from a secular point of view. Maybe they snuck this in. Maybe they're not. Here's what caused it. A combination of factors. Listen to this. Prosperity, the pill, the expansion of higher education. Did you get that? The expansion of higher education. If college is for, it only makes sense, if true university college training is for the gifted elite, and it is, and it should be, then if you make it so that anyone can be and must be admitted into it, well, then it is no longer for the gifted elite. And there will be less of a clamor to become gifted elite because it won't matter. And it doesn't matter. It only makes sense. But then again, who wants to talk about sense? Prosperity, the pill, the expansion of higher education, and the doubt surrounding the Vietnam War encouraged an anti-authoritarian adolescent wish fulfillment ideal. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That was unworthy of and unworkable for a mature, prosperous adult society. This era saw the beginnings of an identity politics that inverted the colorblind aspiration of civil rights leaders like the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. into an obsession with race, ethnicity, gender, and now sexual preference. And those adults with influence over the culture, for a variety of reasons, abandoned their role as advocates for respectability, civility, and adult values. As a consequence, Charles Murray wrote about this in his book, Coming Apart, The Demise of White America Since the 1960s. And Angelo Codevilla, in his Ruling Elite, wrote about this, that the top 5% of people or so never stop being the top 5%. They never stop doing the things that are listed in this story. What they stopped doing, and they're still not doing it today, is leading. Instead, they've insulated themselves so that they could become more wealthy, more isolated, and more elite, more above, higher and more loftier than the rest of us petty bourgeoisie, petty hoi polloi out here. Would the re-embrace of bourgeois norms by the ordinary Americans who have abandoned them significantly reduce society's pathologies? There is every reason to believe so. Among those who currently follow the old precepts, regardless of their level of education or affluence, the homicide rate is teeny, opioid addiction is rare, and poverty rates are low. Those who live by the simple rules that most people use to accept may not end up rich or hold elite jobs, but their lives will go far better than they do now. They're basically telling people to become Christians without telling them to. If I didn't know better, I'd say they're apostles in disguise. All schools and neighborhood would be much safer and more pleasant. Well, I'll tell you something. Schools would be the function of parenting, which would make them local and would not lend them to takeovers by teachers' unions, Bill and Melinda Gates, and the rest of the "we're going to educate your children the way they should be, the way we think they should be" cabal. More students from all walks of life would be educated for constructive employment and democratic participation. But restoring the hegemony of the bourgeois culture will require the arbiters of culture, the academics, media. That's it. Now, you see, I didn't write this. This is where the Crusade Channel comes in. This is where outfits and outlets like the Crusade Channel, 24/7 live radio broadcasting, doing what we can to do public service and public works of charity today to keep people updated and to spread the news to you. As I don't know if it's doing any good, but I'll continue doing it because it's the right thing to do. When we're not doing this and we're doing this, we're talking about the bourgeois culture. We're talking about restoring Christendom. They're talking about solutions here. You know, I continue to refer to this every now and then, and I show the YouTube audiences today. St. John Paul II. This is a little prayer card that my daughter got for me while she was in Italy during a month as an intern for a, by the way, a church-run hospital in town of Bergamo. I'm sorry, Genova. And one of the things that JP2, abbreviated name, had asked of Christians practicing worldwide was to get involved in media. That media had become totally secular and totally corrupt. Now, this was back in the 1990s. It was 20-some-odd years ago. And had called Christians to stop this, to get involved in it, and to turn it around, and to add that Christian twist or that Christian influence to broadcast media. It's what we're trying to do and what we do here on the Crusade Channel. And while I ask you, you can join us and become a member of our listener-owned radio enterprise and join us any day of the week. No one ever does, but you could. I shouldn't say no one. We find someone new once every 7 months or so. And we've also, you know, asked for a for this to continue and for the resources needed for it to continue. One way to get to those new listeners is to give them gift memberships. You can get a 30-day, 90-day, or a one-year gift membership at crusadechannel.com and help spread our the message here. That, again, that we attempt to bring 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Here's a closing paragraph of this magnificent little essay here. But restoring the hegemony of the bourgeois culture will require the arbiters of culture, the academics, media, which we just explained, and Hollywood to relinquish multicultural grievance polemics and the preening pretense of defending the downtrodden, instead of bashing the bourgeois culture. They should return to the 1950s posture of celebrating it. Now, I'm happy, even though she's describing, or they're describing, Christian culture, I'm happy to have it called bourgeois culture if it drops people's apprehension to practicing it, or to accepting it, or to studying it.